Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Danny Kennedy, and you're listening to episode number 24. What is up, guys, and welcome to today's episode where I'm going to be speaking about flexible dieting and the basics of what it actually is, and also I'm going to give you a few reasons as to why you should be using it and how it can be effective for you, and not only for a short period of time but for the rest of your life, and allow you to get the results that you're after, whether it's general health and well-being, whether it's fat loss, muscle building, athletic performance. I'm going to speak to you today about how you can use flexible dieting to your advantage. So to start off, I'll just explain what flexible dieting actually is, and it's also commonly known as IIFYM, so if it fits your macros, is a pretty common term in the health and fitness industry for flexible dieting. I prefer to use the word flexible dieting, as it's not a fad diet. It's not something that you're going to do for a short period of time and then stop it. It really is a sustainable way of eating that you can follow for the rest of your life. So I guess what it involves is tracking your protein, carbohydrates, and fat intake, along with your fiber, to ultimately reach a calorie goal. This will either leave you in a calorie deficit, which means you're burning more energy than you're taking in. It'll leave you at your maintenance level, meaning that assuming you keep your energy expenditure the same, your body weight will not change. You know, it may fluctuate from day to day, but on average, it'll stay the same, or it'll leave you in a calorie surplus, meaning you're eating more than you're actually burning, with the aim of gaining weight or gaining muscle. So it just puts the focus on how much you are eating instead of what you are eating, which I guess what you are eating is probably, I guess, the most focused thing, or what people focus on the most when it comes to diet or when it comes to nutrition. But I want to teach you how the foods that you are eating are very irrelevant, and how it's way more important how much you're eating compared to what you're eating. So remember, to lose weight, we need to be in a calorie deficit, meaning that we're in a negative energy balance, and to gain weight, we need to be at positive energy balance, so eating more than we are expending. So when it comes to our macronutrients, we have obviously proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. So protein and carbohydrates are both worth 4 calories per gram, which for the sake of this podcast isn't really something that we need to focus on too much, but I thought I'd just let you know the basics. And fats are 9 calories per gram. So straight away you can see that the carbs and proteins are less than half the amount of calories as a gram of fat. So I guess the beauty of if it fits your macros and flexible dieting is that it allows you to pick and choose, or preferably rotate your food sources without feeling guilty or going off track with your quote unquote meal plan, in a belief that there are no magic foods that'll help you build muscle or lose fat. So it's very common to see a fad diet or something in a magazine or on the internet saying that, you know, eat these foods to lose fat, or avoid these foods if you want to lose fat, or even when it comes to building muscle, you know, these are the muscle building foods that you should be eating, when in actual fact, it just comes down to your calorie intake, regardless of what food sources you are using. If you're in a calorie deficit, so burning more energy than you're taking in, regardless of what you're eating, even if you're eating, you know, it's obviously not ideal in regards to general health, well-being, and performance, but if you're eating takeout food every single day and you're in a calorie deficit, you're still going to lose weight. You'll probably lose a bit of muscle with that, and like I said, you're going to feel like crap, but in the end of the day, in regards to body composition, so body fat, and body weight, you will still lose weight. But the focus shouldn't be on eating as much crap as you can, which I'll get into a little bit later on. So one other thing that you need to keep in mind with flexible dieting is that your fiber and fruit intake also needs to be considered. So it's recommended that you get around 15 grams of fiber for every 1,000 calories consumed, and you also have one piece of fruit for every 1,000 calories consumed. So if on average you're eating 2,000 calories per day, you should be getting at least 30 grams of fiber, and you want to get at least 2 pieces of fruit per day, that is. So I'll briefly run over the difference between, I guess, traditional clean eating, which is, you know, pretty common, I guess, and you see that term thrown around so much in the health and fitness industry, but it's very hard to actually define what clean eating actually is versus flexible dieting. So what is clean eating? I guess clean eating typically involves sticking to a restricted group of quote-unquote clean and healthy foods while completely disregarding their caloric value, presuming that as long as you eat clean, you'll see results, which, you know, guys, this could not be further from the truth. Now, let's say you're eating clean, you know, and you go in and you disregard the calorie intake in the food you're eating. So you might eat a vegan piece of cake in the belief that it's going to be clean, but that cake probably has more calories in it than a standard piece of cake that you could just buy from anywhere. And in the end of the day, if your calorie intake's too high, you're not going to lose weight, you're going to gain weight. So eating foods that are seen as healthy doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to lose fat. I can guarantee that there's probably more calories in the salad that you're having at lunch with all the dressing and everything on it than what there would be in just having a standard meal, something like a sandwich or something like that. Or even sometimes, believe it or not, guys, sometimes something like a pasta can have less calories in it than something along the lines of like a Caesar salad or whatever. So just because it's seen as a healthy food doesn't mean that it should be part of your day-to-day eating or day-to-day diet unless it is accounted for and you are following flexible dieting. So clean eating, I guess, typically involves eating small meals every 2 to 3 hours, sticking to a very limited group of foods, which I mentioned before, and that can often lead to the mentality of labeling foods as good or bad, which can cause a lot of problems. And in my experience, I've seen a lot of people end up with eating disorders because they believe as soon as they eat something that's seen as junk food or not healthy, then they've completely blown their diet, and it typically leads to binge eating. And this is just a never-ending cycle. So, you know, it's pretty standard to see someone eat well from Monday through to Friday and then on the weekends just eat like absolute crap. Whereas if they had allowed themselves to eat something that's not seen as, I guess, healthy or as good food, but it's more so seen as junk food or food that's not as good for you throughout the week, and they fit it within their calorie goal, then their progress is going to be a lot more consistent. They're not going to create that bad relationship with food, whereas they see food as good and bad. And in the long term, their results are going to be a lot better. So far, guys, what I want to get across is flexible dieting just involves you eating foods that you enjoy. So foods that you want to eat as long as they fit within your calorie goal. And if that means that you want to lose fat, then your calorie goal needs to be below your maintenance. Regardless of what you're eating, if you're below your maintenance, you will lose weight. It's as simple as that, guys. There's no rocket science to losing fat or building muscle or putting on weight, or maintaining your weight. It's very common to see people, you know, get confused with correlation versus causation. So things like no fat diets or no carb diets, people automatically assume that the fact that they're not eating carbs means that carbs are bad. So, you know, junk food, I guess, quote unquote junk food that have got high calories in it, or that are high in carbs, people see them as bad and the reason that they're putting on weight. When in actual fact, the reason that people are losing weight on no carb diets or no fat diets is because they've taken a huge chunk of calories out of their day-to-day calorie intake by removing a whole food group, which in my opinion, I tell all of my clients, if you cannot follow a specific diet for the rest of your life comfortably and actually enjoy the way you're eating, then it's not worth doing. So if you're going to cut carbohydrates out completely, unless you think you can go for the rest of your life with doing that, then it's not worth doing. Now, it might be a different story if you were talking about a competitive bodybuilder that needs to reduce their carb intake that low for whatever reason. But even then, you know, I have guys competing at the moment that are still eating, you know, 400 grams of carbohydrates, which is a lot of carbs, and they're in the best shape of their life. So it comes down to your calorie intake, making sure you're getting enough protein, and in the end of the day, that is the most important aspect. So flexible dieting, I guess, gives you a calorie and macronutrient target to reach by the day's end, which then also kind of debunks a lot of these myths that are saying you shouldn't be eating carbohydrates after dark or after dinner, all that type of crap, even things like meal timing and how often you have meals throughout the day. You know, people believing that the more small frequent meals you have throughout the day, the faster your metabolism is going to be, which is just completely false. And that's not your fault if you believe something like that, because we've been fed this crap for so long now, which, you know, so many people try, you see it in magazines all the time, you know, people that are supposedly fitness professionals just saying these things because they don't actually know the evidence behind it either, but they believe it, they might follow it, and they might believe that it's giving them results, but it's clearly not, because it's been scientifically proven. So the thing with if it fits your macros or flexible dieting is that it gives you so much more flexibility with your nutrition, making, I guess, dieting. I don't really like the word dieting that much, even though it is part of the flexible dieting word, but it makes dieting a lot easier to adhere to, because you're not restricting yourself from certain foods. So the best thing about it is that there are no foods that are off limits. Absolutely no foods that are off limits. As long as it fits within your calorie goal, you're meeting your protein intake, you're getting enough fiber, you're eating enough fruit, you're getting all your minerals, and you're sticking to your calorie and macronutrient targets. And what it also does is it helps you realize what are in some of the foods that you're eating already. So you might be eating the same breakfast for the past 5 years, and then you start tracking your calorie intake, and then all of a sudden you realize, hang on a second, I've got a lot of carbs and a lot of fats in my breakfast, but there's next to no protein. So now you might start to look for foods to replace that you're going to get a higher protein intake. You're going to figure out what foods are high in carbs, what foods are high in fats, and you just calculate that into your daily targets, and it just makes you so much more aware of what you're actually eating. So I actually did a blog post about this whole topic on my website, www.dannykennedyfitness.com, called The Ultimate Guide to Flexible Dieting, and I put an example there of two different meals that are 100% equal in calorie and macronutrients, so calories and macronutrients, but one would be seen as junk food, one would be seen as a healthy meal that is fine to eat. So the two examples I used, the first one was, I think it was about 150 or 200 grams of kangaroo, then there was about 125 grams of brown rice and some mixed veggies, and then the second one was a 6-inch sub from Subway, so wheat bread, I think it was chicken breast, tomato, a little bit of salad, some Swiss cheese, barbecue sauce. So clearly, if you had the two meals next to each other, you would think that one is better for you than the other. Most people would lean towards the kangaroo and brown rice. When in actual fact, the calories were exactly the same, the macros were exactly the same, so that would have the exact same effect. Now, if you had the choice, would you rather go for the kangaroo and the brown rice? Then yes, because it's going to be more nutrient dense. But if you're on the go, just because you're on the go and you're busy or you're traveling, it doesn't mean that you need to completely blow out your diet or go off your diet completely. You just need to factor in the food you're eating. So if that means you need to pick up some Subway, even if it means you pick up a couple of slices of pizza or a burger, as long as you account for it, then you will stay on track with whatever your goal is, whether it's fat loss, muscle building, maintenance, whatever it is, it won't make a difference. So if you guys would like to figure out a little bit more or learn a little bit more about flexible dieting in regards to specifically for you, so that we have two options here. So the first one is, I would love for you all to go and check out the blog post. Like I said, it's on my website, dannykennedyfitness.com. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Flexible Dieting, or If It Fits Your Macros. Check it out. It's got very easy steps to follow in regards to calculating your calorie intake, what it should be for your specific goal and to your individual needs in regards to your energy expenditure, your body type and whatnot. It also has calculations to work out your macronutrient breakdown, so your protein, carbohydrates, fats, fiber, all that different types of stuff. And you can go through that and then figure out exactly what you should be eating and then start to play around with it, guys, because, and the other thing is, you may not want to calculate everything. So one of the biggest excuses I get from people about flexible dieting is, you know, I don't want to have to track my foods. You know, it's too specific for me. It's too hard. I don't want to have to do it. And it's just people being lazy, guys. It takes me less than 2 minutes to put in my whole food intake for the day into the app. And you know, the app that I use is MyFitnessPal. I just quickly chuck in the foods that I'm going to eat for the day, make sure that my numbers are around about as close to my targets as possible. So your protein and carbohydrates, you want to be within kind of 10 grams either side of whatever the goal is. And then your fat, you want to be a little closer, so 5 grams either side. As I mentioned at the start, fats are a lot higher in calories than carbs and protein. But if that's not for you, then you might have a calorie goal and just stick to a protein goal. So say, for example, you need to eat 2,800 calories per day and you have a minimum amount of protein you need to hit. For an example, we'll use 180 grams. So you need to get 180 grams of protein. And then you need to stay within 2,800 calories. Now that's pretty easy to do without having to be too specific about your macronutrients. So you're just making sure you hit your protein, making sure you stay within 2,800 calories. And if that puts you in a deficit, then over time you're going to be losing fat, depending on what you're doing with your training and once you reach plateaus and stuff, which I do cover in the article itself. So. And then on the other end of the spectrum, for somebody that may be even listening to this that's been using flexible dieting, or once you have listened to this and you've tried flexible dieting for a while, we have someone that might be on the advanced side where they choose to go into more of an intuitive eating side of things, where they're comfortable with knowing what's in their meals that they're regularly eating. They feel like they can estimate, you know, around about what amount of calories they're eating per day, then they may not even track at all. And that's the beauty of this, is like I said, it teaches you what's in certain foods and you'll eventually get the hang of it. You don't need to be weighing your food for the rest of your life or using MyFitnessPal for the rest of your life, but you'll get that good of an understanding of what you're eating that it'll allow you to make choices and be a lot more consistent with your progress and make choices based on your experience of knowing what's in particular foods. So before we finish up, guys, I wanted to just go through some of the foods that I keep in my diet, because obviously the aim is to still be eating as well as possible. So eating nutrient-dense foods, getting the most out of our nutrition, because we know that nutrition is our fuel. So if you're eating crap food, regardless of whether it fits your macros or not, just because you're losing weight doesn't mean that that's a good thing. If you're eating crap food every day and you're feeling shit, you're not sleeping well, performing horribly in the gym, you know, in the end of the day, we want to be healthy. So some of the protein sources that I like to stick with are things like skinless chicken breast, lean beef, kangaroo meat. If you're in Australia and you haven't tried kangaroo mince, or kangaroo burgers, then I would 100% recommend trying them. They are unreal. Eggs, you know, whey protein powder, which if you've listened to any of my previous episodes, you should know by now that whey protein powder isn't some magic powder that's going to make you gain muscle or lose fat. It's just a way of reaching your protein intake, which is very handy when you are on the go and busy and whatnot. Protein bars, fish, you know, tofu, if you're not a fan of meats, you know, the list goes on. Some of the carbohydrate sources that I tend to stick to, things like fruit, rice, so whether it's white or brown, very irrelevant. Potato, again, sweet potato, white potato, completely your choice. Fun fact, there's actually less carbohydrates per 100 grams in white potato than there is in sweet potato, which most people would have no idea about. But that's something that you learn along the way. What else? Things like oats, rice cakes, fibrous veggies, of course, trying to get our fiber intake in. So green veggies and whatnot. You know, I like bagels, even things like ice cream, sorbet, something that's high in carbohydrates. The list goes on. It really depends what you like to eat. And that's the beauty of flexible dieting. Now, fat sources, for me, myself, I prefer to keep my fats, I guess, on the lower side, because there's not a ton of fat sources that I really, really get around. I guess I love peanut butter, absolutely love peanut butter. So I eat a fair bit of that. Things like oven roasted almonds or just normal almonds, nuts, cashews, avocado I'm not a fan of, but that is a really, really good one that I would highly recommend. Olive oil, egg yolks is perfectly fine to eat the yolk out of your egg. Things like full cream milk, if you like milk, that's fine. And again, you'll learn these things along the way of what fat sources you typically eat within your eating habits already, and you just factor that into your calorie and fat goal. And then before we finish up, guys, I'll just mention a couple of things that you'll need, I guess, or things that are handy to have starting out utilizing flexible dieting. First thing, obviously, a food scales is very important. So especially in the initial stages when you're actually learning about tracking things and seeing what 200 grams of chicken looks like or 20 grams of peanut butter, which I guarantee is so much less than what you think it is at the moment. Mine was at least about a third of what I thought it was. Another one is an app to actually track your calorie intake. As I mentioned, I do use my MyFitnessPal. I haven't really played around with any other ones. There are a number of them out there. I think there's one called My Macros, maybe, Calorie King. On the Regimen is another one that's pretty new to the scene, which you might want to try. Or if you have the time and you are extremely old-fashioned and you have nothing better to do, then you can still just track it on a piece of paper. So keep track of what you're eating throughout the day, but I would highly recommend using an app. Apart from the food scales and an app to track, that's pretty much all you really need. And you're good to go. You're on your way to learning how to eat the foods you enjoy within your calorie goal and see results. And it's not just for just an average Joe. This is for anyone. I use it for myself to get ready to get in shape for a physique show. I have bodybuilders using this all the way up. You know, they're still eating ice cream a week before a show because it fits within their calorie goal. They're getting in their fruit intake, they're getting in their fiber intake, they're hitting their macronutrients, and they're still able to enjoy foods without feeling too restricted. And I've actually got down a list here, which I want to run through, just before we finish up. This will be the last thing, I promise. So, and the list here is just some of the frequently asked questions that I get about flexible dieting that I think you guys will find helpful. And it might be things that you're thinking already after hearing, the podcast so far, you might already have some questions. So I thought I would run through these before we finish up. So first one: does fiber count towards my carbohydrates? Now, also, guys, these frequently asked questions are in the Ultimate Guide to Flexible Dieting article that I mentioned on my website. So, does fiber count towards my carbohydrates? Now, the answer to that is yes. Fiber does count towards your carbohydrates, and they should be added to your daily total. So, although you may not be separating carbs and fiber and then adding them separately, that's something that you don't want to be doing. So you don't want to be taking, reading a label in a supermarket, for example, that says 5 grams of fiber and 20 grams of carbohydrates. So that doesn't mean that it's 25 carbs. It still means it's 20 grams of carbs. It just means that within that 20 grams, there is 5 grams of fiber. So to answer that question, I've gone the long way around that and probably confused you even more. But does fiber count towards my carbohydrates? Yes, it does. It is included in your totals in an app like MyFitnessPal. If I eat under or above my calorie goal, should I make up for it the next day? The answer is no. The best thing you can do is just forget about it, guys, and move on. Unless you are in a contest prep or you eat under your calorie intake, then in that case, if you are in a contest prep and you go over or under your calorie goal, then it's probably a wise idea to make up for it the next day or within the days coming. But for the sake of this podcast, I want to keep it pretty basic today, speaking about flexible dieting. So I'm just going to say no, don't make up for it. This is where I like to tell people to use the goldfish mentality. Just forget about it and move on. The worst thing you can do after overeating, guys, is to try and make up for the next day with reducing your calorie intake or doing a heap of cardio and whatnot, because it just leads to a never-ending cycle of doing that same thing. You cut your calories drastically the next day, and then within a few days, you're absolutely starving again. You repeat that same cycle, you binge again, you do all this cardio, and it's just never-ending, and it does create a bad relationship with food, which is clearly not what we're after, as I mentioned at the start of this. Does doing cardio on an empty stomach burn more fat? Now, in my opinion, your body does not burn body fat according to how much food has been taken in before you exercise, so fasted or non-fasted. Weight gain or weight loss is definitely dependent on whether or not you're in a negative energy balance with a calorie deficit, which I've already spoken about. If you'd rather train on an empty stomach, guys, then just do it. But if you'd rather train, you think you could train better with food in your stomach, then that's fine as well. The results are going to be the same. If you burn 300 calories from cardio before you eat, or you burn 300 calories from cardio after you eat, you've still burnt 300 calories. So it's as simple as that. Should I cut out coffee and tea from my diet? No way. I definitely don't cut out coffee from my diet. You just need to know that if you're having a caramel latte or something along the lines of a coffee with a few sugars in it, then it needs to be accounted for in your calorie intake. It's not just because it's a coffee and you don't think it's really counting towards your calories doesn't mean that there's no calories in it. Should I cut out sugar? No, it is not necessary to eliminate all sugar from your diet. As I mentioned, I think it's never a good idea to completely eliminate something from your diet that you know you can't go the rest of your life without. And I guarantee 99.99% of you guys listening cannot go the rest of your life without sugar completely. Does it matter if I eat carbohydrates at night? No, 100% no. Again, guys, if your body does not know what time of the day it is, you just need to aim to reach your carbohydrate intake goal by the end of the day. So whether you spread it out over 6 meals or whether you have it, throughout 2 meals, it makes no difference as long as you've reached that same carbohydrate goal that you had at the start of the day. What other ones do I want to go through? Will sodium make me gain fat? So, guys, this is a tricky one, I guess. Not so much a tricky one, but it's going into a little bit of detail. So sodium, which is things like salt and stuff, a change in sodium intake can retain water in the body, which does lead to an increase on the scales, or I guess a softer look or something that makes you look a little bloated, I guess. But it's not fat gain. You're simply holding a bit of extra water because the sodium in your body is holding on to any of the water in your body. So this can just be eliminated by drinking more water. It's as simple as that. So to get rid of water that you are holding in your body, you need to drink more of it because your body will just flush it out because you'll be going to the bathroom a little bit more frequently. What if the MyFitnessPal app tells me I've already hit my daily calorie intake but still haven't met my macros? Well, guys, you need to always aim to hit your macronutrient goal and don't stress about what the calorie count says, because the apps like that, they round up, they round down, they estimate calories. Even if the macros say one thing, the calories might say something completely different sometimes. So make sure you're hitting your macronutrient goals. And last one, can I still drink alcohol? If so, how do I count that into my macros? So yes, you can drink alcohol when you're trying to lose fat or, gain weight. Obviously, when I say gain weight, guys, I obviously mean gaining lean muscle. You don't want to be gaining fat. Even if your goal is to go up on the scales, it should always be to gain muscle and not excessive body fat. So when drinking alcohol, you should know that it is filled with empty calories. So I guess that's pretty commonly known that alcohol is just empty calories, right? So this means that although your beer may say it has 6 grams of carbohydrates, 4 grams of protein, and 0 grams of fat, which means that it should be 150 calories. Which means that it should be 40 calories. A stubby on average is around about 150 calories. So that beer is containing, at least 3 times the amount of calories of what it actually should be if you're reading the nutritional label. So the best way to track your Friday night drinks or whatever it may be, drinks with friends on the weekend, is to subtract the total calories from either your daily carbohydrate or fat macronutrients. So this is going into a bit more detail. I do have an article on my website about this, so feel free to check that one out as well. But, for example, if I subtract it from carbohydrates, it'd be something like this. So 150 calories for a beer, divide that by 4 because there's 4 calories per gram of carbs, leaves us with 37.5 grams of carbohydrates that I need to take out from my daily totals to account for that beer. So as you can see, guys, it's not always worth it to have a couple of drinks for no reason if you'd rather eat more food, or you know, if you're serious about achieving your fat loss goal or muscle gain goal or just maintaining your weight. So that is it for me, guys. I've probably given you a little bit too much information, but have a listen back to this again if there's anything you want to hear again. If you do have any questions about flexible dieting, or you'd like me to coach you one-on-one and provide you with what you need individually, you know, depending on what you're doing training-wise, body type, all that type of stuff, feel free to email me at danny@dannykennedyfitness.com. If not, guys, be sure to check out that article. Like I said, thank you so much for listening today. I do appreciate each and every one of you that do listen to my podcast. It's awesome. I've been getting some cool feedback, and it's good to know that the work that I'm putting in to provide you guys with the information is paying off. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, please do hit that button, leave a review, because it does help get my podcast higher up on the list of, I guess, podcasts to do with health and fitness and lifestyle and business and all that type of stuff. So appreciate it, guys. I'll speak to you again next week on the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast.